Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's a very special guest on Geeks On. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hello, my geeklies! Welcome back.
Welcome, welcome. Wow, we've been like 2 recordings here.
Yeah. So like back to back.
Back to back. So we got craziness so many coming. Stuff. Yeah, it's very cool.
We got craziness. Y'all craziness coming.
I dare not speak the name.
Y'all aren't ready.
How have your Geek Weeks been? We haven't done a Geek Week check-in in a while.
Well, I was gonna save this for news, but I'll just talk about it now. I went to on Saturday evening a Star Wars burlesque show.
Oh, really?
That's naughty.
Devil's Playground is a little company that a woman has put together. She does geeky, she's famous for doing geeky burlesque shows in Los Angeles. And she got kind of very famous for doing a Star Wars one about a year or two ago.
Yeah, is that the one that was shown at Comic-Con a few times?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not absolutely sure about that. I'm going to try to contact them to see if maybe they could, you know, do a smaller interview.
Small performance in
small
studio.
Performance, yeah. But anyway, it was very fun. It's very small thing. It was only like 4 or 5 girls, but they had a little teeny little set, and they came out in costume.
Is that what you're calling it?
There was a Wookiee.
Wait a surprise. Second.
I know. Hot Wookiee. The one that's disturbing.
We've never seen a female Wookiee.
There was
what?
Now they
so effectively, you just got turned on by a furry.
Trust me, you would have been. The one that was very bizarre was a C-3PO because she never took this kind of crazy silver mask off, and it was like this robot-y type of thing. Gold paint all over her body, tassels. It was kind of crazy.
I'm literally sitting with my mouth open because I'm like. I can't.
Sexy stormtrooper with kind of
the sexy stormtrooper. I could see.
I could see that
because it's just an adaptive. I've
was
seen.
Was there
I've
a
seen
sexy Darth Vader?
There was sexy Darth Vader.
There had to be.
And then there was the slave Leia. She was great, except for you just knew the costume.
Yeah,
so
it's the gimme one.
Yeah. So yeah. It was the one that you're like, I've seen it. I mean, it came off, but you know, it wasn't like the other.
So it was
ones
a full strip show.
Well, down to pasties and underwear.
Interesting.
So it's a burlesque show.
Where
it's
people throw? Do you now at a burlesque? Do you throw money or is it just?
No.
Is it like
no.
Is like cabaret?
Yeah,
it's okay. Not a stripper thing. You don't pay dollar bills.
I
like
know
that
neither.
At
really,
a burlesque,
so. Yeah, it's like burlesque. It's, you know, it's fine. Nothing too naughty.
All right. So my geek week, I have to tell you, yesterday, just normal everyday me at the grocery store, look in front of me, and who's there? Frank Darabont.
Oh,
well, he's got some free time on his hands now.
Just totally Frank Darabont. So ran after him and like totally gushed all over him and didn't seem to annoy him at all. But really, no, I love LA.
No Walking Dead.
No, I didn't questions. Like, oh my God, I love you on Walking Dead. No, I didn't.
Sorry
I didn't,
about didn't, the whole.
That sucked. No, I didn't do that.
But those of you don't know, there was a little bit of a shakeup at the
I was gonna use that
Walking
word.
Dead production.
Yes.
Offices.
Completely.
And we're not absolutely sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does anybody know what happened?
Yeah, basically, the story as I understand it is that originally Walking Dead is owned by AMC. It's the only major show AMC has that they
own. The only
own,
one. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So they fired the writing staff.
He fired the writing staff.
Right.
Which was 2 people. It wasn't like he fired, like, 10 people. It was 2 people.
Still, it seems sort of weird to, you know, fire the writing staff for, like, this Emmy, multi-Emmy award nominated.
Well, but the reason that apparently that happened was that he was actually doing all the writing because he didn't like what they were turning in.
I've heard multiple stories, but
yeah.
It's either here or there. Who knows what the truth is?
It is weird, though, yes.
They send him off to Comic-Con to plug the show.
This is the part that seems kind of not cool.
They do a great. He does a great job psyching the crowds. Everyone I saw who saw the Walking Dead panel loved it. Mm-hmm. Felt really good about it. And then the week after, fires him.
Right.
And apparently the reason behind it was they were forcing him to cut the budget of the show by a third.
Which is crap because it has more viewers than any other show that they have on that network.
Well, it has more viewers than any other drama show, hour-long drama show.
Well, it crushes Mad Men.
Yeah.
It's like, but,
I guess I'm
not sure about those entire rumors. First of all, this game that networks play with shows, this happens all the time.
Sure.
This is kind of normal stuff. So that's why I'm not entirely convinced that those rumors are
The rumors do make sense to me. I mean, what I heard is they own the show, right? So this is the one show that they have on the network that they get the profits from.
Right.
Right? So, Mad Men.
And they can do whatever they want to.
Breaking Bad, they don't.
Sure.
And those are their prestige shows that they're supposedly losing money on.
Right.
So that they can get people to the network.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have yet another prestige show to get people to the network, what are they making money off of? So from their mindset, they're saying, we've got two other prestige shows. We don't need a third. We need a moneymaker. We already have something that people are watching. So let's cut the budget. Hopefully they'll keep watching. Just have people talk more. Show less zombies.
Mm-hmm. I heard a very different story.
Okay.
Okay. The story I heard was basically that Matthew Weiner, who runs... Mad Men, thank you. He basically came in and said, I want a very big paycheck or I'm going to take this to another channel. And he could have done that. And so they basically kind of had to say, we can't lose this. This is one of the shows we cannot lose. And so they had to pay him a lot. Mm-hmm. Then they were able to go to Breaking Bad. And at Breaking Bad, they asked them to not take a lot of money, but they were able to come to terms. We don't know what those terms were, but they were able to come to terms. Walking Dead is the one show that cannot walk off to another channel,
right?
Because they own it. So they went to Walking Dead and they basically said, we need you to cut your budget for this year because we don't have enough money for you. And we need to retain all three of these shows to keep our audience. Now, the problem is also that I've heard that Darabont was not doing such a good job of keeping on budget, that he was going massively over budget on things. And so that he was being difficult to work with, because he was coming at it from a very filmic perspective.
Difficult to work with from the network's point of view.
From the network's point of view, yeah.
Okay. What I heard was he wouldn't lie down for the cuts there to make.
Because the actors and they were talking about staging a walkout because...
They were fanatically loyal to him.
Right. But so anyway, the thing being, though, that... From the network's perspective, that's trying to make something for a certain amount of money.
Right.
He was not doing that. He was not meeting budget. So basically, it sounds like he got let go because they got to make it for a lot less money. They don't have a choice, and they don't trust him to do that.
The one other thing that makes me just – I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't think this necessarily contradicts it.
Yeah.
But I think they doubled the number of episodes that they ordered for Walking Dead from the first season. So,
really?
Well, that's more money.
Because
that's more. If you are making money per episode for advertisements, then the more episodes you make, more money. Obviously,
agreed.
That could be the reason.
That's why I'm saying I'm not completely contradicting with him. But they don't need to double the number of episodes. They could, they could figure out a middle ground where they could maintain quality, maintain money, and still make a tidy profit from it.
It's funny because I actually heard the opposite. I heard that they were talking to. Walking Dead and to Breaking Bad about doing a half order so that they would still have that's what I heard.
The order for Walking Dead was already doubled.
Well, it sounds like conjecture a little bit. Well, they did this with Battlestar Galactica. This happened Battlestar Galactica had to move their entire special effects to a new house, and I can tell you can see that the year it happens, it's obvious that the money got cut. Very clearly. And they went from Zoic to, I can't remember the people they went to. But this happens all the time.
Will be interesting to see whether or not this happens to Terra Nova now, which is going to be, the effects heavy show of
I have heard nothing but bad things about this show.
But from a special effects perspective, I mean, I don't know my ass from my elbow when it comes to the sort of budgeting thing. Mm-hmm. But my guess would be cutting special effects budget on a first season would be a really bad idea. Like, you want to cut it second season after people are hooked.
Well, what they're saying is that what they were pitching at Comic-Con was actually that the dinosaurs are going to improve over time as as they pick up more done this model. So
that was a technological thing. That wasn't a money thing. Hmm.
I heard that the network doesn't want anybody to die in the show. So
Terra Nova?
So dinosaur deaths are few and
what's the point?
I don't know.
It's funny because I actually just spent last night explaining to somebody who's making a TV series who wants everyone in the TV show to be immortal, right?
Is there only one?
No.
And there can be many. I mean, that's traditional.
No, but it's a show that's about war, it's about conflict and fighting, and if all these characters are fighting to survive and nobody can die, where are the stakes?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, I agree. I like those, but that's, a new thing in television, kind of.
Now, is Terra Nova Fox? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fox is normally good about death.
Well, we'll see. Fox has a lot of good shows. Should we hit some news?
Sure.
So I love this. The fact that this I got this off of BBC News, and the guy who wrote the article is named Peter Jackson. Not that Peter Jackson. A prop designer who made the original Stormtrooper helmets for Star Wars has won his copyright battle with director George Lucas over his right to sell replicas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. A five-year saga, which ended in the highest court in the land, has stakes of galactic proportions.
Well, what's crazy is that he won.
He did. He beat him.
That's crazy.
I mean, the amount of money. I mean, he basically had to spend about $700,000 to beat Lucas.
Ugh.
I don't understand, though. Like legally.
I don't understand
it
either.
It was for hire, right? I mean.
Yeah, it's like, just because I wrote the script doesn't mean I own the script or I design the costume,
I'm just thinking,
music.
Like,
I mean.
When I hire an artist to make my video games for me, can he now turn around and sell that art to
someone? That is one of the major problems is that Steven Spielberg even came and testified in court for George Lucas and said, this makes filmmaking more difficult for exactly that reason.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so every action figure, Stormtrooper actor figure goes to who?
Right. Well, he's saying, do I have right to make replicas based on the molds that I created?
So that must be, there must be some small little technical thing about selling the molds or
something
weird. Because he obviously does not own the rights to the image of a Stormtrooper. There's just no way in hell a judge would. It's just crazy.
Maybe he can't sell the armor, but he can sell one piece.
Or I don't know. It just seems a little odd, that whole thing.
I don't understand the legality of it, though, so I don't really feel like I can comment.
Yeah, it was in 2002 when struggling to pay school fees that he first sold a helmet and its bits and pieces gathering dust on top of his wardrobe. To his surprise, they fetched £60,000 at Christie's, leaving him in no doubt about their potential. So the phone didn't stop ringing. I dug out the old molds, cleaned them down, and made a few helmets. The hardcore fans recognized them as the real thing, but by the time he had sold 19 or so in the U.S., so did Lucas. Lucasfilm sued him for $20 million.
No wonder he went to court.
In 2004, arguing Mr. Ainsworth did not hold the intellectual property rights and had no right to sell them, a point upheld by a U.S. court. But the judgment could not be enforced because the designer held no assets in the U.S., so the battle was moved to the U.K., and that's where a lot of it went down.
And that's where all the powdered wigs came
out. So if Lucasfilm could convince the courts that the 3D works were sculptures, they would be protected by copyright for the life of the author. If not, the copyright protection would be reduced to 15 years from the date they were marketed, meaning it would have expired and Mr. Ainsworth would be free to sell them.
Weird.
Yeah. So there's a lot of loopholes. Check out the article. It's really cool.
That's weird.
There's some really funky stuff.
I mean, it's interesting. I just sort of naturally knee-jerk root for the little guy in that, especially when I turn around and hear about a corporation suing him for $20 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a guy. who's trying to sell money to like get through college.
Well, that's you know, a like, that's a like we're gonna
desist. That's how he started off. Yeah,
make you desist real hard.
He sold two of them, then he was through college.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there's
and then he was like, now I'd like a Ferrari. Yeah.
But even so, it's one little guy.
Yeah,
you know, $20 million seems excessive to me.
Well, the problem is that, $20 million does sound excessive. The problem, as I understand it, from a copyright perspective, is if you don't go after everyone, then it breaks, it wears down your ability to protect your copyright from other people.
I completely understand it. I'm someone and who has to defend copyright.
And the $20 million isn't there to say that they want $20 million. It's
a deterrent.
But it's also to show you that is the price that they feel it is worth. They're not saying they're going to get $20 million out of them. It's just like you. This is the worth of what we're suing for. And so that's how that works. So weird, strange.
What you got, Pete?
Showtime teams up with Steven Spielberg and Stephen King for Under the Dome series. It's a
Under the Dome?
It's 2009.
It's about terrariums.
Stephen King novel. It's about a force field comes over the small town, trapping everyone inside.
I heard about this
happens to the people inside when they're trapped in here? Because they have limited resources and they have to survive.
And they can't get out of the dome.
And they can't get out of the dome, and it kind of turns them against each other.
I could watch that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Huh.
Very
and it's a miniseries?
Well, it's a series. Question. I mean, I don't know.
Steven Spielberg is not my favorite person with television right now. Like, he made Taken, and I loved him. I loved Taken. But now he's doing this whole, we've discussed it on the show before, Falling Skies.
Oh, Falling Skies.
Mm-hmm.
And I am proud to say I stuck it out. I watched that whole freaking first season desperately trying to see.
This is Noah Wiley's show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Noah Wiley show.
I didn't even realize it got already through a first season.
I'm shocked, but they got renewed. You know, but honestly, one of the reasons why I'm watching it is because if you go back and you look at our Facebook forum.
Yeah. Everyone says that
I brought up a discussion. Everyone hated it except for three people.
Yeah.
Right? But those three people were vehemently supportive of the show.
Huh.
So I'm sitting there looking at the show going like, I'm watching the birth of a cult phenomenon. Like, I believe if the fan base, there's clearly enough fans to keep it running. They made a second
season.
For every
three people who posted on our Facebook is 100,000 or 20,000.
So that means there's something going on with this show that like three out of every 500 people think it's amazing and everyone else thinks it's crap. So this means something. Like he's missed the target, but he's hit certain people really hard.
Okay.
So why? And I'm watching the show and I can't figure it out.
Which is kind of where he's at right now. I mean, that's what Tintin is in a way. You know, he's got me, but he definitely
doesn't. No, Falling Skies is crap.
It's just generally crap. This is what you guys are saying.
Well, I mean, I think it's crap, but other people...
After the entire... And how many was it? Was it 24? Was it how many episodes? I don't know.
The numbers... But I just... I just can't.
I don't think it was a full...
Every time I think about that series, brain cells die.
But just...
I think it was like 13 episodes,
It is procedural, episodic.
It is episodic about Los Angeles. I think it's Los Angeles. After aliens attack and basically destroy all civilization, and now we're like...
No, it's somewhere in the East Coast somewhere.
Is it Chicago? I don't remember.
So V.
It's V.
It's V without any sort of interesting stuff going on.
Interesting.
Did a secret ever kind of come out?
Yes, there are some secrets, but you can, if you watch it, you call all the secrets about four episodes before your heroes figure it out.
Okay. What you got on anything, Aaron?
Nope, I'm a very special guest.
The burlesque show is
that's it for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get on to our very special guest.
Oh my goodness. Everybody, we have a very special. You guys look stunned.
Oh my god, this is crazy. This is off the rails.
Matt and his Matt always has gotten us great interviews, but I I think this might be your top notch here.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We all owe you something that we can't discuss on it.
We're jammed here in a small little recording studio.
Yes. We actually can't say where.
We can't say where.
That's part of the deal here. Mm-hmm. This is our first top secret recording location.
And someone here has joined us on his break from working at this. Do you like to introduce?
Yes, Matt Explodes.
Okay, ready? Ladies and gentlemen, geek and geeklings, Sir Ian McKellen!
Yay! We're not worthy!
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Well,
we don't have much time.
Yes, we don't.
We promise we get straight to
really
questions.
Exciting to us.
And you're here doing work with The Hobbit, correct?
We are. We're actually doing work on The Hobbit right now. Very exciting. I can't talk too much about it, you see.
Of course.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, should we start this before you have to leave, sir?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Can you talk anything about what you're doing right now with The Hobbit?
We're actually doing some additional recording to put in some new lines into it that we didn't do originally. We were in the middle of filming right now. We took the summer off, and now we're coming back and doing a little bit of reshoots, and we're adding in a few songs from the original text, I believe. We're adding some songs back in, so it's very exciting. So I'm very, very pleased with it, actually.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting songs.
Cool.
There were songs in the book.
There were definitely songs in the book.
They didn't put in the first trilogy.
I'm not the Hobbit expert.
Just wondering if they're taking the ones from the original Rankin Bass cartoon.
That wouldn't be
very good.
Well, you know, I'm not entirely sure because I haven't quite read the book yet, you see.
I haven't read The Hobbit.
I didn't actually read any of the books, per se. But I think that's important because you need to separate from the book and the script that's actually on the page and becomes on the screen and you see it there. You know, it's completely different format, so you don't want to combine the two.
Right.
Are you a fan in general of the genre?
Well, I am. You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not the hugest fantasy fan, per se. I enjoy the Shakespearean aspects of it. I enjoy that part of the story. But the whole part about elves and hobbits and dwarves, and, you know, it's a bit silly, if you were to ask me personally. But, you know, the paycheck is steady, and I was offered a considerable sum for coming back, which... I won't tell you how much, but it's quite a big figure.
It's funny, I wouldn't have guessed that, because I would have thought, I mean, you've made...
Such an amazing career from Gandalf. I would have thought.
No, you just play it as you see on the page, and you go in. They give you a nice hat, you put it on, and then you go.
If you don't read the text, what type of actor's work do you do to prepare for a role like that? If the text isn't.
Well, generally, what I have is I have an assistant that sits beside me and they'll whisper the lines into my ear so I can hear them. Mm-hmm. And then I think about how should I portray this? How should I deliver it? And then I, you know, sometimes I shout it, sometimes I whisper. Usually one of the two. That should be the most.
Huh.
Effective way.
So, was that what was done when you had the "You shall not pass"? Somebody whispered.
Yes, I had a stick for that.
Huh.
What do you think the most challenging part of working on these movies has been?
Oh well, you know, I'd have to say the CGI and everything and all the effects. I'm not a fan of any of that. Just give me the stick, give me the hat, and, you know, I don't really think we need any special effects. Although I am a fan of 3D. Did you know the film is in 3D?
Yes, I think we heard that at Comic-Con.
Oh, they're doing The Hobbit. I didn't know the Hobbit.
It's very exciting. You get to wear the glasses and everything. Huh. It's a big thing nowadays, 3D.
Yes, definitely. And that's
the big
moneymaker, 3D.
That is definitely the big money.
Hmm. Well, if you're not really a fantasy fan, what type of things do you watch and read?
Oh, well, actually, I'm a bigger science fiction fan than fantasy. You know, I'll sit down at home when it's late at night and have a sherry. and you know, turn on the television, perhaps put on one of my favorite... You know what my favorite movie is?
What?
RoboCop. Have you seen
really?
It?
RoboCop.
Really?
It's RoboCop.
I love freaking RoboCop.
No, I love it. It's Peter Weller.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, it's about a cybernetic cop. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
No, yeah, I bet you have. You've seen it. It's
have
delightful.
You seen the second and the third
I have
the
seen
third
the second one. I don't care for the third one, though.
I don't think anybody does.
There's cybernetic ninjas in that. Now it's just getting farcical, it is.
Really?
I've heard rumors that they're going to be making a new one in the near future. Would you want to?
Would it be in 3D?
I would not be surprised.
I love the 3D. Did I mention that?
Huh. Yeah, you did.
Do you have another question?
No, I...
No more questions? Well...
What's it like being a star? I mean, do you get a lot of people that come up to you? You have a lot of people...
Well, I do. It really helps when I have the beard. When I shave the beard, not nearly as many people come up to me. It's surprising. But when I have the full beard, then I have children come up and they're like, rrr, 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 and I'm like, get out of here, kids. I don't care for you. Because they smell and they have tiny hands. It's usually been touching candy, then they try to touch me. I'm not a fan of that at all. So I prefer just to sit at home and watch films on my television set, like RoboCop or... You know, The Last of the Mohicans. I'm a fan of that
one. Oh, you
one.
Like that one? Specifically for Daniel Day-Lewis, or...?
I like Native American stories.
Oh.
You know, it connects to me.
So RoboCop and Native American.
Native well, American. That's just Sorry. A couple of examples. I like several films.
Who has been the most interesting person to work with on the Lord of the Rings movies up till now?
The most interesting person to work with, I would have to say, was... The Balrog.
That was a person?
Well, no, they had like a picture there, but, you know, like I said, I get annoyed by the other actors, so it was just good to have someone that was there, just ready for me to act to instead of with.
So it was like a cardboard cutout, or how...
Well, it wasn't so much a cardboard cutout, it was just kind of they had like a drawing on a big piece of paper. It wasn't really as... High tech as a cardboard cutout, and then I got to deliver my lines. So, no, no. And
was,
you know, he
was that really all that different from working with Orlando Bloom?
Oh well, no, I wouldn't talk bad about Mr. Bloom. He's very handsome, you know.
I have noticed that.
He's
yes.
very handsome, so are you. But I didn't. I'm just. I had a sherry before I came in today.
Was there some romance on the set?
Well, I don't want to get into too many details, but there's quite a few young, vibrant fellows running around, you know, in leather and armor and everything. It's just very exciting. Things happen. I'm not saying I'm involved, so don't jump to conclusions, but other people, behind closed doors, that's all I'll say.
Right.
Wow. I hadn't really thought about the sort of romantic side of what happens on set.
Oh, yes. It's a romantic story.
Is there time for that type of stuff? I mean, I...
Well, you know, there's... Oh,
I can't do it anymore. I'm about ready to explode. It's just like torturous. It is torturous. I can't take it anymore.
Yes.
All right. We have something to confess.
Just a little tiny confession. Geeklings.
Do we want to introduce our guest?
Our guest.
We're
yes.
going to reintroduce our guest.
Reintroduce our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Geek and Geeklings, the ever amazing, the oh so talented Hunter Davis.
Yay! And by the way, that went way better than I was expecting. This chunk. I thought we'd have to do this like a couple of times.
Oh no!
Hi guys,
Hunter, welcome. So,
hi.
The first time I saw you was actually performing as Sir Ian McKellen on YouTube now legendary video where Sir Ian McKellen performed the opening theme to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes,
which was like 2 years ago.
I originally posted it, I believe, in July of 2009. So okay.
Were you here in L.A.?
I was here in L.A. at that point in time. I've been in L.A. for about 5 years, so It's been up for 2 years.
What was the impetus? Just you knew you could do this impersonation?
Yeah, see, and you go, yeah, I've been practicing in front of the mirror.
I mean, I used to do impersonations in high school a lot, uh-huh. and I slowly kind of got out of that. But my first year in college, the first Lord of the Rings movie had just came out. I think the first X-Men movie came out the previous summer. Right. So, and I was doing an old man voice, and it sounded a lot like Ian McKellen.
And you were like, huh.
Like, oh, that's interesting. Right. And I kind of just, that was like the one impression I've kept, like, over the years. Huh. I kind of kept doing it. And then just, I had gone on a trip and gotten back home, and a friend of mine was doing all these videos. So on a whim, I was like, well, I've been talking about just doing a random video of, like, Ian McKellen. What if he's saying the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
And then it blew up.
And then it blew up about a year later.
Really?
I had, like, a lot of friends shared it, and it got, like, around, like, I'd say maybe up to, like, 10,000 hits. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a year
you
later.
Have a lot of friends.
Right.
Well, yeah. Mr. Throughout the year. Well, throughout the year, they were, like, it kind of got... It got about 10,000 hits, like, throughout, right. like, a year.
Well, so, now it's been, it's not only been done, but it's been copied, and so other people are stealing your hits and, like, you know, re-editing it to music and other strange
which
things.
Which I think is kind of incredible
right.
that someone would take the time to do something that I did. Like, we're going to add music to it, and I've seen, like, some of the videos, mm-hmm. and they're kind of incredible, just, like, how
I mean,
well
it's up
work.
Over a million people do, like, touching on this, this video now, which is just astounding to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And still commenting, incidentally. I went back to that video just before we started recording, and I saw some of the most recent comments were, well, several seconds before I touched base.
And that's basically what we're talking about tonight is internet celebrity and the effects of it and what it does and what it means and all the things that it entails.
Do you go to the front of the line at nightclubs now, or?
Oh, no.
With his beard he does.
Not at all. It's been very odd, like, just wrapping my head around, like, how big it's gotten, but right. to, like...
Because I recognized you.
Yeah.
I recognized you before I knew we were working at the same voiceover agency.
Right. Odd. So, like, some people recognize me, but then it's not, like, a level, like, Chocolate Rain guy or anything like that.
Why didn't we get that guy?
I know, right?
Chocolate Rain.
Get out.
I like how you associate yourself, like, in relative to the Chocolate Rain guy.
Well, it's like, there's
above
that, like...
Above Dramatic Squirrel.
Right, no. Nowhere near that level.
Nowhere near Dramatic Squirrel.
So, yeah, you have these, like, giant, like, huge level things, and I'm like, I've done far more than I thought I would do,
right.
which I wasn't even, like...
Are you above Laughing Baby now?
Which one?
When you blew up, how long did it take you before you actually realized, like, you know, I've got 10,000 hits, and then one day you open it up, and you see... What, are you like at a, you know...
At what point did you realize you were a meme?
Well, it's actually what had happened. I had done a commercial for the General Auto Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Those amazing commercials.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And it was like late one night, and
were you playing the General?
I know, I'm just like in the background or something. And I saw it on TV like late one night, and I'm like, oh, and I think it was on like G4 or something, because they play all those commercials all the time. So I was like, hey, it's finally on the air. And then the next day, I start getting messages from people, hey, you were on Attack of the Show. And I thought, oh, it's for the General commercial, I guess? And then I slowly start to figure out, because it was the East Coast time zone for Attack of the Show, that they had done a segment on me, and they played the Fresh Prince video and the DuckTales video, which those are kind of the most popular, and then did a redub with the music. So that's how I first found out there was music to some of the videos. And then my email just started exploding.
Wow.
Because I had it set to wherever somebody subscribes to me or leaves a message,
I would get
an email. So my email just, like, lost its mind.
How long did it take you before you're like, stop this thing, please stop?
Well, like, that first week was kind of insane. And I was asleep, because I sleep in late, and I got a text message like, hey, saw you on Reddit. And then...
Oh, no.
And then I checked the email. Then I started seeing the Attack of the Show stuff, and then it was kind of all.
So, have you identified where it went from friends to somebody either putting it? Was it Reddit first and then Attack of the Show?
I think it was Reddit then Attack of the Show, like Reddit that morning or that night.
So just some random person just happens to tag it on Reddit, and then bang!
Reddit is awesome.
So crazy.
It really is. I mean, but Reddit if you can get to the front page of Reddit with something. It's
but there's,
quite
you know,
remarkable.
There's several of those. I mean, well, even YouTube. I mean, there's several of those sites, well, including YouTube.
Here's the big question. So, how is your life different now than it would have been if you hadn't made these videos?
Different in odd ways. For example, I have sort of a voiceover agents now,
right?
With as Matt knows, and that's kind of been incredible. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that.
And that came out of the videos.
That came out of the videos. Okay. Yeah, the voiceover agency, they tracked me down, brought me in, and I auditioned for them, right. And they brought me on board. I guess the biggest thing is now, if I do a video other than Ian McKellen videos, or even more Ian McKellen videos, I now have just an audience to watch it, which that's the biggest thing to me.
Yeah,
and is probably the biggest change, because now I feel like if I do something, at least some people will see it.
Have you reached a subscription level where basically you can say, like, you get 5 cents per every click on your video and stuff? I always wonder what that's
sort of.
I never know what that's about.
The thing of it is, the Ian McKellen videos are obviously the most popular, and with those, because they're lyrics, I don't have the copyrights for all those. And early on, I was like, well, maybe I can make some money from this. And I sent letters out to, like, a few people to, like, see if I could, what, you know, getting the rights to use the lyrics were, so then I could put an ad on it if I had the rights.
Right.
And I only got one response. It was from Disney.
It was like, back the hell off.
Well, it was like this. It was like, oh, yeah. We could definitely set you something up. It's about $1,000 for a year. For just the the first year to use specifically the DuckTales lyrics, and since you already had the video up, we kind of frown on that a little bit. But you know, we'll just set up a back invoice, and you know, you can go ahead and get that money to us. And
you're like,
I basically didn't respond to that email, and I was like,
well. I mean, I'm sure
you're safe in a sense.
Yeah.
As long as you're not making money from it.
Right.
No,
yeah.
Well, no, that's not true.
Well, because it's also sort of parody in a
sense.
You're making fun of it.
Exactly. But I guess because parody is something you can't really define in terms of the law. Like, I kind of did a little research on this. I basically would have to, like, go to, like, court, and then a judge that'd be like, this is parody.
Yeah.
Even if it's obvious.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's whole episodes of DuckTales on YouTube,
right?
So I'm not the
well,
biggest offender.
You know, once you put, like, if on YouTube you want to make money, you want to put that little ad where clicks earn you money, they run a piece of software that checks to see if there is anything musically or visually in that video that would get them in trouble, and that would probably get your video off there, like, instantly.
Exactly.
Well, what's amazing is that's why people run videos backwards. They take, like, clips from films, but they invert the video. And for some reason, that stops it from tracking it.
Huh. Yeah. Until tomorrow when they
flip that
invert button on searching. Huh. Interesting. And I would think that EA Games would contact you and say, you know what? We've got another damn video, and we would like you to... Have you gotten any of that type of
the Middle
work
Earth,
yet?
Any of the Middle Earth work?
Like, people who actually want you to do that? Because I know the Darth Vader guy, there's a guy who does all those video games. Sounds dead on like Darth Vader. He gets work that way.
Yeah.
Not yet. I also, I've had a few auditions where people are like, we want someone very Gandalf, very wizard-like. And then I'll give them that. And they're like, well, that's too wizard-like. And then I'll kind of give them a variation.
Right.
And then they...
Yeah, I heard you're Cronkite. Like, what we were doing, like, this 1960s thing. I heard you doing Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, Walter Cronkite.
That was can you do it? It was...
That's
the way it is. You know?
I'm not so way.
I don't know.
Nah, now you're in Ian McKellen.
Yeah, stuck in McKellen. But I think that was actually for X-Men First Class.
That was unreal.
Which I don't know if they ended it. I never saw Walter Cronkite in anything. Unless there was
they
like...
They may have that in there.
Yeah, that was uncanny. I was blown away. So now, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about with this is how people think that internet celebrity and the nature of this. I mean, I was looking it up. There's a few big hitters. There's like Jenna Marbles. There's like Tia Tequila. You know, a lot of the girls, especially. What is
his
name?
Well, there's been musicians like OK Go.
OK Go, of course.
Which we've also interviewed.
Right.
They wouldn't really be as big as they were if it wasn't YouTube.
Right. But I'm talking about specifically like the creation of a video that cracks the fourth wall, that is a discussion with the audience, that is now become a very specific type of celebrity. And why did you, Hunter, think that that was something that, like, okay, this is something I want to do? Or it was just a gag that you wanted to run?
I guess somewhere in between. Like I said, I really just did it on a whim, and I had a few friends like it, mm-hmm. and then I did a few more videos, and then it exploded. And then I just trying to wrap my head around, okay, do I want to do more? Do I want to give people exactly what they want? But do they? Mm-hmm. Do I want to do like 30 Ian McKellen videos? Or
right.
can I use this as like a jumping off point to do like other videos? Mm-hmm. And I've kind of felt restricted in the sense I don't want to become just the Ian McKellen guy.
Right.
And probably. I think that's what... Yeah.
Well, you don't want to be the leave Britney alone guy.
Exactly. And I think yeah. that's what happens to internet stars. They get labeled as...
Chocolate Rain.
The Chocolate Rain
Chocolate
guy.
Rain guy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh.
So
internet stars are the old TV stars?
Yeah, pretty much.
In a way, it's almost like...
Well, think about it. When you get famous for doing something that is between 30 seconds and 2 minutes long...
Right.
That's what you're going to be remembered for. Something that's 30 seconds to 2 minutes long.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think you're smart by... You've got your audience. Mm-hmm. So now you can present what you want instead of just feeding them... Like, okay, so you do the DuckTales, and then you do... I mean, how many TV show things before people are like, oh, click.
Exactly. And I think it's almost, like you said, it's like a guy that's on a commercial that's very... Like the dude you're getting Adele guy.
Right.
He gets known as that, and then it's hard to break out of
right.
that.
Like so the Verizon guy. Like the Verizon guy.
Exactly.
I'm sure the Verizon guy is like rich beyond all meanings of the word rich.
That and that yeah, progressive girl.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing
oh.
Dinner Theater Shakespeare at Myrtle Beach for the rest of his life.
Exactly. Because he can't get cast in anything else. You know, all
Canst
the way.
Thou hear me now?
And then he just... exactly.
So... What have you been using your audience? You've got an audience. Have you?
Well, I
great
I,
power
that
comes
yet?
Great responsibility.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Oh, totally. You know. I mean, I still do an Ian McKellen video every now and then.
Uh-huh.
I try to kind of limit it. What I did recently, which was kind of neat, I thought, is I asked for fan suggestions, and then whatever the top five most suggested ones were. I did a video saying what those were. Then I
so now
had,
you have a full you have a full dialogue with your fan base.
I'm trying to get that way. Basically saying, like, hey, guys, I don't want to just pump out videos because then you're going to get tired of it. So maybe, you know, we can kind of like a dialogue. Saying,
yeah.
like,
I'd like to hear you talk about your favorite scenes from RoboCop. Working in some slang that's completely inappropriate. Like, that's some dope
that's
shit.
That's your vote?
That's some dope shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's very funny.
You know, the part where he shoots between the legs, you know, like that type of stuff.
Well, I was going to say, when I first started doing it, I had a friend of mine that does music and everything. Mm-hmm. And she's a singer-songwriter.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, I want to do a cover of Smell Yo Dick. And she sang it very like singer songwriter, and then it gets to the part where it gets very like
naughty.
Yes. I came in as Ian McKellen and read that, and I kind of go back and forth like, well, should I do a video as that? Because I do have a lot of kids that are like huge fans of the right. of the Ian McKellen videos
well,
specifically.
Can't you tag certain ones as explicit?
You can,
yeah,
but
it's still on the internet.
So right. part of me is like, that's again a responsibility. Like, do I do something like that? Do I not? So I kind of go back and forth.
Don't go blue, man. Don't go blue.
Oh, you have to. That's, I mean, honestly, that's what
I feel like Aaron's got the white wings on, and Peter's got a little listen, devil.
You think those kids aren't hearing so much worse than you could ever possibly do? The stuff,
yeah.
The I mean, is, you know, it's it, like
it's about the creativity, not the content. You know, like if
yeah,
it's creative
true.
Enough. It means, like, I actually just watched, it's not genius, but Epic Rap Battles of History, that series of videos that's out right now.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it just blew up.
Is this the kid who absolutely can't rap, and
no,
yet
no, no,
he's
no,
got
no.
the crew around
it's
him?
12, that... Right now, they're up to 12 different episodes. They take different characters from history, and they have them do rap battles. So, like, my favorite one so far is Albert Einstein versus Stephen Hawking. And then the most recent one is Shakespeare versus Dr. Seuss, and it is genius.
Huh.
But one of the most recent ones was Gandalf versus Dumbledore. And it's raunchy. It's completely inappropriate. The stuff that comes out of Gandalf's mouth should never be heard by children. But the creativity level of it is so fascinating.
Hmm.
I
I would probably let my kid watch it. I admit that. Just it's raunchy as hell, but it's fun.
Don.
And it's creative, and it's nifty. I don't know.
Uncle Don lost his babysitting privilege.
They're too young to understand. It's all good. They just know the rhythm and the color.
I started with this train of thought when, actually, when George Carlin died. Yeah. Because when Carlin died, I thought the world would stop for a day or two. Because, I mean, this is a guy who is singularly one of the best comics, if not the best stand-up comic that we've had in dozens and dozens of years. And
do you think he's like the Lennon of comedy?
I think he's the Lennon of comics.
Okay.
Not L-E-N-I-N. And, and then he dies, and it was literally like 2 days later, it was like, George Carlin who? You know, and every once in a while, somebody will throw up a picture of him at age 30 with a quote from him. And it was like, really, have we already moved on beyond this guy this fast? And I wonder whether or not just the internet and the nature of it has sped up our ability and our appetite for, you know, the new.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, again, the internet, it's changed the way we absorb entertainment, right? Yes, George Carlin has died, and it's a tragic loss, and I'm not minimizing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the internet, echoes of George Carlin keep coming back at you.
Interesting.
For years. Like, I'm still seeing little tiny clips and pieces of his work I have never seen before. So it's sort of like he's still here for me.
Interesting. You know, so that's an interesting point, Hunter. You can never, ever, ever make this go away. Now.
I know. Yeah, it's just a blessing and a curse in a way. Mm-hmm.
Think about this. In 100 years, you know, if they haven't expanded our lives or whatever, you'll be dead. We'll all be dead. And someone's going to be watching that.
Yeah.
And cracking up
Fresh
over
Prince
it.
And who?
Yeah, right?
What does that mean?
What was that?
What the hell?
And who's Will Smith?
I don't know.
Well, and that echo will last with you until you actually end up working with Sir Ian McKellen one day. And what do you say to him?
Did he contact you?
I do know he actually has seen the videos. His Facebook and webmaster guy has been in contact with me for a while.
Uh-huh.
And we're supposed to eventually meet
at
some point.
Oh, come on.
But he has not been in, like, the country for, like...
And he won't be for another 2 years.
Exactly.
But apparently he's a fan of the Popeye video I did. So, and that's one of those things that, like, that'll be amazing if it happens. I don't know what'll come from it.
Yeah,
I'm not banking on anything.
Right.
But the guy continually, like, has gotten in touch with me rather than vice versa.
Now you need to do like a Julia and Julia movie, except it's like.
And actually,
Hunter and Ian.
What's interesting is I saw the other day there was, I guess, a guy in the UK who was doing an Ian McKellen impression, and then Ian McKellen did come out and, like, was like, "Stop what you're doing," and I was like, "Hey, wait a minute! I thought he was doing that with me." But that's just an example of just, like, it's such a wide open place, the internet, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Know. And how derivative is it? You know,
I have a question. Has there been is there a dark side to the internet fandom that you've...
Have you escaped
any of all that stuff?
Not too much for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've kind of been fortunate that, for the most part, people enjoy the videos that I do. There was a period when I released the first one because I did it in a bad webcam and I, like, uploaded the wrong that my voice, my mouth didn't quite match up the voice.
Yeah, people were challenging you, weren't
they?
Yeah.
So that kind of happened for a little bit, but it sort of tapered off because I did a response video, which was me saying, like, I'm going to prove that it's me doing the voice. And I was like, let me just get set real quick. And then I, like, lifted up a TV remote and basically hit play and Lord of the Rings and you know, moved my mouth to that.
Right.
And I was like, see, there we go. And then that was my roommate doing Frodo.
Right.
And that was sort
Jackasses.
Of, that was sort of my response instead of like, no, it is my voice. I kind of had that's fun
right.
with it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I kind of got a lot of support from people from that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
So that was kind of my wave to combat sort of the negative comments, and for the most part there hasn't been too much negative on my end. I mean,
there's just a lot of people out there, and it takes one or two
dark ones to ruin your day.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
Let me ask you a question. Would it totally trip you out when you finally meet Sir Ian if he showed up and he did a completely spot-on Hunter impression?
I would be so happy.
And you guys could talk to each other completely switching roles.
I would be just so happy because then I think the playing field would be even. Because I always feel like he's going to show up and want to fight me. But then I'm like, he's like, I've got you. Yeah, we're now on the same level.
That would
level
be great
now.
If you guys could stage a video. If he couldn't do it, that he would just mouth, like he could say something, you could record over his voice and falsify a video.
A full, like, you
a full, like, that here's my response, and then do, like, you know, yourself doing Fresh Prince.
I have like 10 ideas in the back of my mind. Yeah. Should I ever meet him, yeah, and I'm able to pitch something, which
bring your camera.
Which I'm like, I have different levels. Like, this idea involves a week of filming and locations. And this one involves if I only have a minute and a half.
Yeah.
The first one, we move in together and we become best friends.
Exactly.
Second one is we do something right now.
And this one is just us naked in a closet.
Shh, we don't talk about that one.
But that's I would be nervous about meeting him because I don't want him. I don't think he is just from his people, but I wouldn't want him to be upset or angry about anything.
Well, right. I don't think he would even meet you if he was upset or
exactly.
Angry. So you would be, you know, free and clear.
Ian, he's going to be awesome. I mean, come on, he's awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
like if
we
you
all
go,
know he's awesome. He's going to be awesome.
If you go to his like his website, he has all these just crazy pictures of him in like pirate outfits and everything. Just he seems like just kind of a wacky guy. And, like,
I've heard rumors that he does the best Helen Mirren impression ever.
Really?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard it.
Well,
that's something
you've got to
get.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's just like he's just so much cooler.
This is me being him and him being Helen.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Hunter Davis as Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen as Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren as
Hunter Davis.
Whoever she wants
to
be.
Oh, of course. Yeah, then it comes full circle.
Either that or just you could do Ian McKellen doing Helen Mirren. Oh, my God. My mind's being blown.
That's so many levels.
It's like Inception.
That's funny. So, well,
we got anything else?
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you so much for swinging by.
Oh, of course. Thank
sharing
you
your voice.
Yes, and thanks for the trickery at the beginning.
Excellent.
That went well.
That did go well.
So, if people want to go check you out, where should they go?
They should go to, I guess, just www.youtube.com/HunterDavis.
You have a channel there.
And I have a channel there, and it has a lot of other videos I'm trying to do. Other than Ian McKellen.
Right.
I'm doing one about Batman trying to retire and get out of the crime-fighting business. But keeps getting pulled back in. So that's an example of me trying to do other things.
So you are a geek.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
But so that's my main channel. And then I have a poorly designed website at hunterdavis.net, not .com.
Excellent. Yeah.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Excellent.
Fun interview. Thank you, Hunter.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe one day we really will get the real one.
Yes. Who knows?
The actual Ian McKellen.
That was
pretty, you know, that was a pretty great interview. With or without Sir Ian, that was a pretty awesome interview.
Yeah. Yeah. He's unreal. Yeah.
Well,
Sir Ian has a lot to live up to, is all I'm saying.
Yes. A lot of Hunter Davis that he needs to work through.
There you go.
I hope he does get some actually like VO stuff for video games and stuff that they can't
get
him
for. He's inordinately talented.
Yeah,
he's inordinately talented.
He sounds like him, for God's sake. Hire him.
Well, that's another episode of Geeks On, everybody. Thanks for spending another hour with us.
Yay.
Exactly.
Yay! So we have a little extra something, a little extra bit at the end, and we'll just leave you to that.
Alrighty.
If you want to get in touch with us, write us at geeks@geekson.com or Aaron, Matt, Peter, or Don at geekson.com.
Yep.
And
all hate mail goes to Aaron@geekson.com.
Yes, always.
Right.
Always.
Yeah, of course.
And don't forget to check out www.geekson.com for our forums and our Facebook page.
But don't go away yet because we've got something a little extra special for you.
Peter's very proud of us.
I am.
Alright. Bye, everybody. We'll be right back.
Okay, here we are. It's not often that we get to interview an actual fantasy character because they don't actually exist, but today we're able to interview Gandalf and find out some really, you know, what it's really like being a wizard in Middle Earth.
I'm amazed.
Gandalf the Grey or Gandalf the White?
Yeah. how are you feeling today?
I'm currently the Grey. Thank you for asking.
Excellent.
Now, Gandalf, let me just start off by saying, you're often smoking a pipe.
Oh, yes, that's true.
What exactly is in that pipe? I've always wondered.
Well, it's a mix of herbs and spices that have been gathered from across the land. Picked one by one and put into the pipe. I'm sorry, I've been smoking early. I've lost my train of thought. What's the question?
How exactly does someone become a wizard? Where does that...
Yeah, where did you train?
You train?
There's
you
a just... wizarding school off in a distant land that only the brightest and best, once they already are picked from childhood and brought to the wizarding school, and that they are taught the arts of being a wizard and of fighting evil and darkness. And when they're ready, they get a hat and a stick.
Now, there's dark wizards, too. Is there a rival academy, or do they just get corrupted along the way?
Well, it's generally corruption, unfortunately. It's a rather large problem in the wizarding community. You see, one out of three wizards, more often than not, gets tempted by the darker side of the wizarding arts.
Did you ever have a, you know, brief phase when you were in school?
Well, I think we all...
kind of, you know, Gandalf the Black for just a short period of time?
Well, you know, in high school, you know, everyone sort of has that phase when, you know, it's seductive, you know, it's cool. It's exactly.
You summon everyone... a succubus, who doesn't? I mean, you know.
Exactly, you know, you start summoning skeletons, you know.
Speaking of which, one must ask, are there any female wizards? I've noticed a extreme lack of women in Middle-earth in general. A
lot of beards.
Yeah.
A lot of beards.
Generally, females are elves for the most part. I think I encountered a female dwarf once, but... Well, that was a wild evening, I'll say that.
And really, how do you know? I mean, you know.
They all have beards.
There's, you can tell.
Actually,
you can tell.
Are there any other
me.
Women besides elves? Oh, there is a human.
There's one there human. One woman. Human. Yes.
It was that one, yes. Yes. I remember her.
Yeah.
Delightful. I didn't really think about that.
Now, I noticed you spent a lot of time with hobbits. I mean, you could be with anyone. You could be with dwarves, you could be with elves, but you really like hobbits.
Well, you know, there's a few advantages of romping around with hobbits. There's the height factor. I feel very tall when I'm around hobbits.
Right.
And then they also don't wear shoes, so they generally don't track in mud that much from outside.
You like a clean house.
Well, I try. You know,
a clean hole.
I'm fairly nomadic. You know, I'm traveling.
Matthew. Hobbit hole.
Matthew!
That's all I'm saying.
Matthew.
Sorry.
I didn't get it.